Let's hear the word of the living God, Daniel chapter 9, beginning at verse 20. This is Daniel, and he says, "While I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my plea before the Lord my God for the holy hill of my God, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the first, came to me in a swift flight as at the time of evening sacrifice. He made me understand, speaking with me and saying, 'O Daniel, I have now come out to give you insight and understanding. At the beginning of your pleas for mercy, a word went out, and I have come to tell it to you, for you are greatly loved. Therefore, consider the word and understand the vision.'" Well, we said a lot last week about prayer. And one of the things we said, and I think it holds true, most of us pray short, selfish prayers, right? We pray short prayers because we're quick, we don't have time. And we usually pray selfish prayers. "Dear God, my big toe. Dear God," what did we say about church prayers? They're organ recitals. Aunt Susie's uncle's friend who has a cousin who once knew somebody and they have a hurt liver, that kind of thing. I know that's a little bit of a stretch, but that's about the way it goes. You'll give that to me at least. But we pray short, selfish prayers. And contrast that with Daniel. Last week we looked at 19 verses where Daniel is engaged in deep, biblical and rather pious prayers. In fact, we're going to see tonight that in the midst of his prayers, it's not necessarily in your English translation, but there's a parenthesis in the Hebrew passage, and it literally says, "I was wearying myself in prayer." When is the last time we wearied ourselves in prayer? I was taught by a man in seminary who told us the simple way to live a solid Christian life was this. No big secret. Morning church, evening church, and Wednesday night church. That's your public church life. And then he said, an hour a day of Bible reading and prayer. Now, most of us will balk at morning and evening church and Wednesday night. We'll fit morning in pretty regularly. I know I'm saying this to the Sunday night crowd, but most of us will balk at evening church and coming back on Wednesday. Life has just gotten too busy. We got too many channels to watch, and you know, there's a new Hallmark movie every night or a new special on the news channel we prefer, that kind of thing. There's just more to life. We're busy, busy, busy. But how about, well, reading for an hour and praying for an hour? We would find great difficulty in that. But that's Daniel's piety. Remember also last week we talked about the acronym for prayer, ACTS, ACTS. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. How it's helpful, I think, to have as you got your open Bible and your good cup of, what did Derek Thomas say this morning in our Sunday school lesson? A good pot of hot black coffee. But have a sheet of paper there with the adoration, the confession, the thanksgiving, and supplication. And as you read through your Bible, see what in that passage helps you adore God. See what in that passage helps you confess your sin. See what in that passage helps you give thanks to God, and see what supplications come up. You could just take our evening service thus far. We adore God for his mercy. We adore God for his justice. We adore God that he sent his own son in the flesh to be cursed for our sin in order that we might be the offspring, the blessing of Abraham. We confess our sins and we say, "Oh Lord, it took the lamb, the spotless lamb, to pay for these sins which I have committed." We give thanks for the sacrifice. We give thanks for God's saving plan. How marvelous, how wise, how great, how wonderful to contemplate. You see, all of what we have said thus far tonight could fit well into those grids, those adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. And if you, well, let's just say you spend 15 minutes with the Lord and you jotted those things down, would not you get up from the table or your chair on the porch and say, got it pretty doggone good? Well, we notice in the prayer that Daniel's chief concern is for Israel. It's for the church. It's for Jerusalem in ruins. It's for the ordinances, the sacrifices of ancient Israel to resume again. They have been stopped for nearly 70 years. And when we saw last week that in his prayer, he had been reading in the book of Jeremiah, and he remembered as he read Jeremiah, the exile of Israel in Babylon won't last but 70 years. And it's been 67, 68 years. And so he realizes it's about time to go home. It's about time to rebuild the temple. It's about time to restart the sacrifices. And you read the books of Ezra and Nehemiah, and for about 100 plus years, God favors Israel, and they go home and rebuild, and they begin again in the promised land. But his chief concern is not his big toe. God cares about big toes. It's not his aunt's, uncle's, friend's, cousin who once knew somebody who has a hurt liver. God cares about livers, and however you get to whoever's liver it was, he cares about that too. But notice Daniel's chief concern is God's holy mountain. It's the worship of God. It's the witness of God. It's the glory of God that that he's most concerned about. Just stop and think practically for a moment. When is the last time you shed a tear? Or you labored in prayer because the church on the face of the earth languished? Or it was in ruins? Or it was being unfaithful or untrue and needed God's mercy and his change? When is the last time we were so concerned? When is the last time maybe we rode by a church and, you know, we're pretty quick. Oh, we're biblical. We're reformed. We're, you know, we're on the right side of things, right? We know that. We pat ourselves on the back. But when's the last time, and God help us if we think that, but when's the last time we rode by a church that's maybe less faithful and we said, Lord, help them to recover the lost gospel? When's the last time we rode by one of the churches that we know do some things that really obscure the gospel or the glory of God? It's maybe a man-centered type church. And we say, Lord, clean up their act for your sake.
Is that judgment?
And it is. But it's interesting here to think through how Daniel prays. Jerusalem is in shambles. Jerusalem is in ruins. The reputation of God is at stake on the earth, and he prays that God would restore it. Well, it's about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And notice the mark of time here in this passage. He's praying at the time of the evening offering. This is Daniel fasting, Daniel praying. Daniel is in great distress for the glory of God and for the temple. We know the verse very well from Proverbs, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. When was Daniel exiled? Well, he was exiled as a teenager, right? And it's a long time later. Daniel's now an old man, and is this not a great example? Train up a child in the way he should go. He was at temple. He was in prayer. The Torah was read to him from little on up, we suspect. And so when he is now old, he has not departed from the ways of the Lord and for praying. But he's on Jerusalem standard time. Maybe some of you have an old school watch, my watch, because it's connected. If I go to a new time zone, guess what? It's going to change. But some of us may go two or three other time zones. We have our old Timex, our old ticker, and we don't change it because we want home time. And so Daniel, for 70 years, he's got his Timex on, right? Takes a licking and keeps on ticking. He's got his Timex on, and it's still on Jerusalem time. He's praying at the time of the evening sacrifice. Now, meanwhile, back in Jerusalem, is there an evening sacrifice? No, the temple's been destroyed. It's been knocked down. All the vessels, all the articles of gold and silver and bronze, where are they? They're in Nebuchadnezzar's treasury. They're in the house of the Chaldeans. Well, this passage has two messages for Daniel. And they are two messages for Daniel from God, delivered through Gabriel, Mary's messenger. And the first message is this, Daniel, you are beloved. Now why stop in the middle of this prayer and just focus on these few verses? Well, one of the commentaries I've really enjoyed did, and I like the way he brought some things out. And so I thought it'd be good to see these two messages from God through Gabriel to Daniel. First one, you are beloved. Why is it important for Daniel in the middle of his prayers? He's laboring in his prayers. Why is it important for God to give him a holy pat? Well, it's to say, hey, I hear your prayers. You have my assurance that your prayers are heard. I wonder sometimes if we even pray long enough, and I'm being a little funny here. I wonder if our prayers are so short that we hang up the telephone to heaven so fast that the line just dies. Now, I know God hears our prayers. He knows the thoughts of our heart. But you get what I'm saying. This is a man laboring in prayer. And if we are not practical atheists long enough, maybe to say a prayer, is it even long enough to get through the fiber optics? You see what I'm saying here. But this guy has been laboring in prayer. He knows that his only comfort in life and in death is that he belongs to his faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. He knows, like, was it Jacob who wrestled with God for an entire night? And what did he say to God? I won't let you go until you bless me. This is Daniel saying, I won't let go of you until you bless Israel. Return us to Jerusalem and rebuild for your glory there. But what does this mean? You are beloved. Well, the word is translated, you are coveted, you are desired, you are reckoned precious, you are deeply loved. Wouldn't you like, in the midst of your prayers, maybe not for a visit from Gabriel, I'm sure that was rather startling, but to pray long enough to feel the Spirit's peace on you and say, dear child, I am fellowshipping with you in your prayers. That's the thing we're missing. And when we don't pray, or even when we pray short, we're missing the fellowship with God. And here, Bible open, Daniel praying on his knees, fasting and laboring in prayer, he reaches a point of assurance because God assures him through Gabriel. And there's something interesting to notice. As your prayers were coming up to heaven, Gabriel says, a decree went out. And that decree says, Gabriel, you go see Daniel and you tell him, my child, you are coveted, you are beloved, you are reckoned precious. That's the first thing that God sends in a message to Daniel through Gabriel. The second thing is an important one, and we're going to discover the meaning of this next week when we look at the rest of chapter 9. But the second thing after he says, you are beloved, is you need to consider the matter and understand the vision. Dig into this, God is saying through Gabriel to Daniel. Discern the answer to your prayer through the reading of scriptures, through your prayer time, through your fasting, through your knee time. We want magical answers from heaven. That's why we go in the Christian bookstore and we see all these titles. And if you think about it, none of these titles are biblical. And very often, none of these are the way God works. In fact, I remember frequenting a Christian bookstore back in the Charlotte area. And I remember talking to the bookstore owner. He was rather proud of his shop. And I said, oh, have you been to this other bookshop? And he says, yes, we only have one thing in common. And I said, what's that? He said, King James Bibles. He said, I wouldn't sell a single other book he's got in his shop. And I knew what he meant. We like the pop the pill Christianity, feeling bad, pop the pill, feeling bad or needing something, pop the pill. But very often our walk with the Lord is just a simple, long obedience of reading the word, praying the word back to God and by his Spirit and through the ordinary ministry of the church, God directing us to the answers that we need. Well, in a sense here, what is God saying to Daniel? You, my beloved child, you're going to get the answer you're looking for, but you're going to have to work for it. You're going to have to study and pray and seek the Lord, and he'll give you divine help. Now, we may not get a personal visit from Gabriel in our prayers. And if any of the accounts of Gabriel's visits are something to be reckoned with, we probably wouldn't want him to visit. It would be too bright. It would be too scary and too marvelous for us. But do you know that every single one of our prayers, if we have faith in Jesus, every single one of our prayers rises up to the heavenly places through the high priesthood of Jesus. And we have the comfort of, beloved, your prayers are heard. And that ought to encourage us greatly. Let's go before God. Lord, we give you thanks that in your love and mercy, you are a high priest to us. You hear our prayers and receive them in the highest heavens. You take everyone to account. And you work out all things according to your holy will for those that you love and have called for your great purposes. And we have nothing to fear. We thank you for this tap on the shoulder to say, dear child, you are beloved and your prayers are heard. We ask, Lord, that you would get us to praying, that you might do mighty work in this world. And we pray it in the name of Christ. Amen.